We're thankful we can gather around God's Word again this afternoon. And, you know, you think about just kind of a reflection of some of the songs we sang today. We're reminded this morning about God's love and how we totally are so thankful that He loves us unconditionally, and how we have that tendency sometimes because of our fears where we can go the wrong direction. But, you know, just and we're thankful for that word that was shared. But I also think about the songs that we sang, because I think we concluded one of the last songs was How Firm a Foundation. And that foundation song is based upon a number of verses in Isaiah about going through deep waters and fire and flood and fire that might be all around us. We have no fear when we're built on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And as we're built upon that foundation, then, the last few songs we sang, we continue to stand. We stand on the promises that are in God's Word. And we lean. We lean. So we're standing and we're leaning, but yet we're remaining firm as our feet are anchored on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it's His name we want to lift up again this afternoon. Thankful and grateful that that's who we stand upon. And there are times, yes, we lean upon His everlasting arms. They're always going to be there. You know, how many times have maybe we went to someone, and maybe about the third or fourth time about a certain thing, and we might say, can I keep leaning on You? Because we understand we get weary. We get weary, or sometimes people are here tired of saying, well, it's the same old problem. Why can't they work it out? You know, those things go through our mind. When we think about God, we think about our Savior, Jesus Christ, who's interceding for us. We can always lean. We can always lean upon Him. And we know that He is going to be there. That's a beautiful, you know, that's a beautiful hymn. I always sometimes like it when I've been at a sing-alongs, you know, and we didn't do this in church today, but sometimes, you know, you do the old leaning back and forth, but that's kind of a nice action thing about it. But when we think about really leaning upon our Savior Jesus Christ, that gives us great consolation, and we know that He's always going to be there when we are built on that foundation, knowing we have the faith to believe we're all going to be in heaven someday because He died and He shed His blood for our sins. How grateful and how thankful we are for that. So let's look into God's Word here this afternoon, and I'm just going to read from Psalm number 32. Psalm 32 has opened, and that will be the beginning of our meditation here this afternoon. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of, here again, of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble, and thou shalt compass me about with songs of delivery, Selah. And because of that, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse, as the mule, have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And this afternoon, we're just thankful and grateful for what God has done for us. The transgression, our sin, it has been forgiven. His sin has been covered, and it can only be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And how grateful and thankful we are for that. Let us turn to the Zion's harp. And as we think about Jesus, we just continue to look upon him, to look to him as we sing in number 161. Let's pray to the God who's going to give us joy and peace forever and joy divine someday. Lord, bow this afternoon, thankful for the blessings of this day, thankful for the opportunity to come and worship here with this body of believers in Indianapolis, this body of believers, Heavenly Father, that share the love of Jesus Christ, that are built upon that foundation for which we are ever so thankful for. And we just pray that thou would bless us as we gather here and worship with them. We're thankful for their love that they've given to us, as well as to our family that live here, particularly in this time of great concern, Heavenly Father, for the welfare of our brother Wayne. And we just pray, Lord, that this afternoon now as we gather together, that we would feel the presence of thy Holy Spirit, even as thou didst taught us this morning. Father, we're just so thankful for those teachings there in the Gospel of St. Luke that Jesus spoke them many, many years before, and yet we could see thou dost gift individuals to have the ability to even share how they're practical in our everyday life. And we know that we can all learn from them. We can all learn from each other. We certainly can't learn from one another if we put a mask over our face. There's a facade there, but when we're open, even as the brother was this morning, we all can learn and continue to grow and just be so thankful and love thee all the more for what thou hast done for us, has given us life, of forgiveness of our sin. Our sin has been covered, which we're grateful for that. And we have that joy and peace that's going to be forever. We're thankful for those times of joy and peace that we have here as we live on earth below. But many, many times they are for short-lived. They have a lot of interruptions. And we might have the majority of our time that way. But yet we get sometimes discouraged when we have those interruptions. But we look forward to the time that that's what heaven is going to be like. We can't comprehend what thou, God, has prepared. So we just pray this afternoon we might each come together and learn from thy word. We don't expect any dramatic change of anything that we're going to read that we haven't read before. But we're thankful for thy faithfulness in the word. We just pray for the present, the might, and the direction of the Spirit. And we just again pray for this church. We pray for the leadership of this church, those that minister the word audibly, those that in the pews, Father, those that are in Sunday school teaching today, our young people that have committed their life to thee. We just pray for each and every one of them, knowing that they all have the opportunities to also share a powerful sermon by their walk, by showing the love that they have for Jesus Christ. And why do they do it? As we're reminded this morning, because of how much thou dost love us. Regardless, we're made out of flesh and blood. We're not perfect. We have our various imperfections. And just as sometimes we judge too quickly other people's imperfections, we're just so thankful for thy love and thy mercy and thy compassion. Lord, we again remember those in sickness and sorrow. We all have individuals that we pray for again, but we do pay a special blessing for our brother Wayne, who has served this church. Heavenly Father, he's served many down through the years, and we just pray that he would feel thy nearness and presence, and thou would give him courage and strength to face each day, as all of us have. None of us know what's ahead of us, but sometimes when we have news such as we have about our health or situations, it does cause a lot of apprehension and concern and doubt sometimes in our mind. But we just pray that his faith might remain strong and we might be there to encourage him. Bless us. Come into our midst, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We might just read a few more verses in the New Testament. And I guess what I would choose to read would be what's open here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're just going to read there's 13 verses here. And Paul is writing about, to the believers there, about a word that we're all familiar with. It's a word that we all have experienced. And we've all been the recipients of love. And the greatest giver of that, of course, is our relationship we have with Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone here that does not have that, has not done that, you're missing out on the greatest opportunity of love, the love that there is. Because no one has ever loved, showed so much love, a demonstration of love as what Jesus Christ has done for us. Do we think about that? You know, a lot of times we talk about different people and say, they are just filled with love. Everything they do is filled with love. And in many cases they are, and that's what we see. And yet we recognize that nobody is perfect, but Jesus Christ, the fact that he left the throne of heaven to come down and die for you and I, that we can have have a promise of heaven because we had a problem. We were born into this world. There was this thing of sin that we read about in the Old Testament. And Jesus loved us so that we can go to heaven someday. And Paul put it so well when he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, I can understand all mystery and all knowledge. Though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, but I have not charity. He says, I'm a big fat zero. I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. And we can do that for show. We can do that for having our name engraved in some plaque or something like that. But if we and give our body to be burned, but if we don't have charity, it doesn't mean a thing. What does charity do? And I think all of us need to ask ourselves that question this afternoon about then that love that as Jesus had for us, that we likewise share that love with others unconditionally, as reminded this morning, not subject to a certain criteria that we have on our expectations, not subject to check marks that we're going to have, but we know that we be Christ-like and we love everyone as God has made them. Not that we tolerate sin, but we can certainly exercise that love. And sometimes we have to exercise that love by it has to suffer long. Charity is kind. It doesn't envy. And let's ask yourself the question, just think back this past week. Did you envy anything? Did you vaunteth not itself, puffed up? Did you let some pride come in? It doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love isn't selfish. It seeketh not her own. How about the next one? Love isn't easily provoked. And you might say, well, you don't have four little toddlers to take care of. But sometimes we've been there. So, but let's not be easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. But let's hope it rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endureth all things. It never fails. Because lots of things fail. He's talking about all these things that fail. Prophecies, tongues, knowledge. All those things are going to fail and vanish away. And he says, you know, we may not understand all this. We see through a glass darkly, but we're looking forward to the time. And we sang in that hymn, Joy and Peace Forever, face to face. And then I shall know as I am known. And until then, let's keep our faith. Let's maintain that hope. And let's exercise charity. Those are three things. And of all those, The greatest is charity. Charity because of what Jesus has done for us. You know, as we look in the Old Testament, in Psalm 32, which we read, I think it should be a reflection in all our lives. Think back at the time when you realized that there was sin in your life and you turned your life over to the Lord. Whether you were a young teenager, 12, 14 years old, maybe some of you are more older than that, but when the sin you knew was now forgiven because of the relationship you had with Jesus Christ, when you confessed and said, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated for Thee. That's when we had that time of that relationship with God. Our sin was forgiven, and we knew this, that regardless of what our sin was, it was covered by the blood. And we can be assured even today that as we go forward in our life, and none of us know how long we're going to live, and none of us know that as we have this flesh and blood, we may not be perfect the rest of our life, but we know this, that if we do stumble, and we do fail, and we do falter, and there is sin, we know that there's no sin that cannot be covered by the blood of Jesus. He's our advocate. He's at the Father's right hand. He's always going to be there. We can lean upon Him. Those are times when we really have to, again, lean upon Him and ask the Lord for His mercy and His forgiveness. And we're thankful for the power, the wonder-working power, as we sing in a hymn, of the blood of the Lamb. Because when there's sin in our life and it's unresolved, what it will do, it's heavy. It's heavy upon us, and we feel separated from our God. It says kind of like the drought of summer. You know, when there just isn't that communication, when there is sin, unresolved sin in our life, there's a separation from God. You know, it's kind of like, you ever thought about how the corn crops feel when it hasn't rained for about 6-8 weeks? It's a drought. It's the drought of summer. They're thirsting and wanting that rain. And then the clouds come and they pour out. But sometimes they don't come. But we can be thankful and grateful if we ever come to those droughts of summers in our life, that God is going to be there when we call upon Him and we acknowledge, Lord, take away this sin. I'm sorry. I repent. I turn back. I've backslid and I want to come back to You. God is always going to be there. We don't have to worry about a never-ending spiritual drought, because obviously we see that from time to time across our country, when there are those long periods of drought and the corn withers and dies. And that's what we certainly don't want to happen in our life. Because when the rain does come, it's revived. And when we have that reconnection with our Almighty God, and that sin, we've acknowledged that sin. We know that that sin has been again covered by the blood of Jesus. We acknowledge that sin. We don't hide it. It says, mine iniquity have I not hid. And I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That's the compassionate God that we serve. That's the compassionate God that we're reminded of this morning, that loves us. That's not keeping a record of us and holding that against us, but He has extended His love and mercy. And then we know that as we look to the God, it says, Thou art my hiding place. We know that just because we have had that sin removed, and I don't know about you, but we realize that we live in a day and time, there is still the originator of sin on the loose. And that's Satan, and that deals with temptation. And I think we were reminded about temptation there in the summary this morning. That Satan is going to be there. He's going to tempt us. He's going to tempt us in various ways, whether we're young or whether we're old. But we know this, that we can always go to the same hiding place. That hiding place is our Almighty God. And when we're in that hiding place, we are safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. You know, I don't know if you remember, I know this sounds pretty elementary, this isn't Sunday school, but you know, you remember when you used to play hide and seek, and you had those favorite places you like to hide. You know, you could only do that so long, because pretty soon everybody came to know where to come looking for you, and you were out, or it, or whatever you were, and the game was over. But we're thankful and grateful when we think about our Almighty God and the hiding place that He has preserved. We are safe when we go to our Almighty God, and we're encompassed by His love, and we're safe and secure, and we triumph over Satan, and he's not going to be able to touch us when we are in the arms of Jesus. And it says, Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. And when we think about a preservation, we are safe. We are sealed. We are sealed. Well, I don't think people can fruit and all that stuff anymore. But to do that and to make it safe for a period of time, you had to seal it. And as long as that seal was there, that whatever was in the jar, it's going to be safe to eat for some period of time. When we think about our Almighty God, when we are preserved, we are preserved, and Satan is not going to break through and break that seal. Thou can compass me about with songs of deliverance. songs of deliverance that we have as we communicate with our Almighty God. We're thankful that as we look to our God, just as we've been while we're here today, He's instructing us. We were instructed this morning. We come together this afternoon to be instructed. He's teaching us on the way we should go. He's going to guide us when we let Him, as we totally yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, faithful guide, it's ever near. It's ever near the Christian side. Because we're man. We're not an animal. We're not like a horse or a mule whose mouth must be held in a bit and a bridle because in direction which way they should go. And as we think then about all that relationship we've had here with our Almighty God, what's our attitude? Well, if we've got good gratitude, we've got a good attitude. It's about that simple. Because we're grateful to God for our salvation. We're grateful for that promise of life eternal. We're grateful for His unconditional love. But sad to say, as much as we have all these things that we're grateful for, sometimes we can just get bent out of shape with the littlest thing in life. And that's when we take away this joy. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah said, is our strength. And so we need to be glad. We need to be glad in the Lord. We need to rejoice. Rejoice. We need to shout. Shout for joy. You know, our children used to sing that song, if you're happy and you know it, you know, clap your hands or whatever, stomp your feet. And we need to let that joy shine forth. And you might say, well, you know, I'm not that dramatic of a person. Well, some of the most powerful, and I'm sure I've said this numerous times, some of the most powerful sermons where we see joy but from people are very calm people because of the joy that just radiates from their life, because they have this love in their heart. A love that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. That we need to do that. We don't want to be a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. That isn't the sound that we want to hear, but we want to make a joyous melody in our heart to the Lord. We may be gifted with lots of things. We may be able to predict some things. We might understand all, it says, understand all mysteries. But you know, so what good is that? There's one mystery, though, that, and some might say, well, I'm never good at solving mysteries. But there's one mystery you can all understand, and that's about life, and that's about eternal life. And the key to that mystery is to know Jesus Christ. That's the most important mystery. We can say that we can solve a lot of other mysteries, but the most important one, if we haven't solved the mystery about life in Jesus Christ, our life is all in vain. All knowledge. We are becoming nothing. We can give all our goods to feed the poor. And we're thankful. We know that there's a lot of you in this room have given generously in dollars and cents and service, even as you're going to have your outreach. Again, what's giving and helping others? You do it, why? Not that you get a name for yourself, but because you love Jesus, because of what He has done for you. That's what real love is all about. It's going to profit us nothing if we're doing it for ourselves. And then we have those tests as we interact and have relationships with each other. That as we read through those things, and I asked each one of you that question about charity, what is it doing? We're filled with the charity and love of God. It suffers long. It's kind. It doesn't envy. You know, the writer of the Proverbs said it so well, what envy is. Envy is the rottenness of the bone. I'm not sure what chapter that's in. But it's so true. Because when we start envying somebody else, we actually become weaker. we become weaker because we're wishing for something that we don't really, it's beyond our, there's a reason for such to happen. And so if you have that tendency to envy, just ask God to get it out of your mind that he's made that person and he's given that person. There's a reason for all that. We don't need to be envious, because when we're envious and want something what somebody else has, it's not going to benefit us. So that's what envy is. It doesn't puff up. It doesn't puff up. We don't... We all have to fight pride, and yet we all recognize there's such a thing as we pride ourselves. I'm sure all of us looked in the mirror this morning, and we're not talking about that necessarily, but sometimes we think that we are maybe better than someone else. Maybe we are more righteous than someone else. That can become a prideful thing. That's self-righteousness, and we read all about enough of those self-righteous people that Jesus constantly addressed in his ministry here. It doth not be saved itself unseemly. Again, it seeketh not her own. It's not selfish, because if there's anyone that didn't have to do what he did, that's Jesus. He was perfect. He was perfect. There was no sin, and he became sin for us that we might have life eternal in heaven. And we have that love and we have that charity. We're not easily provoked. And some might say, well, you know, I know, but I've got a shorter fuse. Well, who made that shorter fuse? Sometimes we make our own. We can justify anything. A murderer can justify why he killed somebody sometime. We can make all kinds of justifications, and we certainly don't want to make justification about that we've got a short fuse or, you know, because we just simply think about what Jesus did. Provoked? Yeah, he was provoked when he overturned the temple. He didn't overturn the temple. The tables in the temple. He didn't like what he was seeing. He had to call what it was. That was not the place to be doing something like that. He had told them once to get out of there, come back. They were there again. But what about when the scribes and the Pharisees constantly questioned him? What did he always do? Did he give an answer just like that? No. He would stop and he would pause. He would pause. Take time to think, and that's what we need to do sometimes when we're put in those tests. Otherwise, when we're easily provoked, what do? We say things that we shouldn't be saying, and we can't bring them back in. We can't bring them back in because it's just simply not possible to bring words back in our mouth. We may be able to, if we get provoked and we can write something, that's fine, but make sure you tear it up. Don't send it. But if you're speaking it, it's gone. You know, it's like the story about the, what was that, about somebody spread a lot of gossip in a village about someone, and they came and told the person they were sorry about it. And how did that go? They said they gave him a pillow with a whole bunch of feathers and said, now go pick up all the feathers. So the wind was blowing. They said, well, I can't do that. That's what happens when we get easily provoked and we say things we shouldn't say, and the words are out. The damage many, many times is done. Thinketh, again, no evil. Again, there's a challenge for all of us. Can I stand here today and tell you I never think evil? I do. But I ask God for forgiveness, and I ask God to help me crowd out those things, perhaps, that when Satan may come and he may tempt us. And he will. He will if we ask him. When evil comes upon us, if we're going to be like what, let us don't do what David did. David saw evil. He saw this woman that was bathing bare. And he started lusting after. He should have turned away, but he didn't. He kept focusing on that until ultimately he fell into sin. But that's what happens in our life. If we take, when evil thoughts come upon us, you know, we cannot feast upon them. You know, but we need to get rid of it immediately. And God, will, we can't do it ourselves, but we pray to God, help us. Help us to turn our back and our thoughts away from all evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And so this afternoon, even as we've had the opportunity to share God's word, may we just be grateful we come into God's house. We have the assurance that we can hear the truth of God. And as we leave this assembly today and we go home, may we be thankful and grateful. What have we heard? We've heard the truth. We've heard the truth of God's word taught this morning, spoken, we pray, this afternoon, and that we are going to continue to exercise and pray for an abundance of God's love, because when we are full of God's love, there's an abundance in our life. There's nothing lacking in our life, and God will give that in untold measures if we just simply ask Him. And He is faithful and will provide.
Well, that was a good word this afternoon, wasn't it? Those are good scriptures and a good application. And, you know, we think about God. And we learned about God this morning. You know, God knows the very numbers of our hair, the hair on our head. I mean, that is a sovereign God, that He'd know that. I mean, that's really beautiful. And then Brother John read today how, you know, about a forgiving God. I confess my transgression to the Lord, and Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. You know, and I love that. I love that because that means stop and think about that. Just stop and think about that. Think about God's forgiveness. And I love the story Brother John told when he was here. Remember that? Remember the story about forgiveness? And he told it, so I'm going to just repeat it. It may not be perfectly right, but it's just a great story about forgiveness. He as a young kid, he'd sneak into the drive-in theater and not pay. And he'd watch the movie, and then he'd leave. And I don't know how many times he did it. So then he repented, and he had to go back and confess that. So he'd be forgiven for that. You know, God forgave him, but he needed to go back and make it right. So he went back and confessed, and the man says, wow. He said, you guys always come, and then you can confess. Others had done it, that, I guess. And, but then I never see you again. Just, I love that story. You know, just, but of God's forgiveness, of Him going back and say, would you forgive me? You know, would you forgive me for that? And God is a forgiving God. And that's awesome. God, and then in 1 Corinthians, you know, God is a loving God. I mean, I just am really grateful for the God we serve. You know, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, a God that is sovereign, knows the very numbers of hairs on our head. He forgives us. And I'm so glad He forgives us. And He teaches us what love is. And I really appreciate where Brother John landed at the end. Do you remember? It's... He said, pray for love. And I think of the Philippians prayer, and I really appreciate the Philippians prayer. Philippians 1:9, you know what it says, verse, and this I pray, that our love may abound yet more and more. You know, this is what I pray. And Paul prayed that for the Philippians. And, you know, I think we need to pray it for ourselves too. This I pray, that our love would abound. And, I mean, do you need to number all the things? I mean, you can. 1 Corinthians is a beautiful, beautiful chapter. I'm glad we serve a God that is sovereign. I'm glad we serve a God that is forgiving. I'm glad we serve a God that is loving. And let's sing a song in praise.
6 in the combined general.
Close us in prayer. Father God, thank you once again for just bringing us here together as a church family, for the visitors that we have today, Lord. They can come and bless us. Brother John, we just thank thee for working through their lives and the lives of the ministers that stand up. Lord, may each family be blessed as we start a new week, Lord, that we can just draw closer to thee and to just take the lessons we learned today about love and loving unconditionally, Lord. And we know, we are acutely aware that there's not a person in our lives that we have not let down. And there's not a person in our lives who will not at one point let us down, even as we heard this morning, Lord. But we know that thou will never let us down. And it's not within our capacity to love unconditionally, Lord, as thou did. Even those that would spit in thy face and hang me on the cross, thou still loved enough to come and die for them. And so continue to call souls into repentance, Lord. May we see a revival in our land, in our individual lives, and in our families, starting this week, starting today, Lord. In thy son Jesus' name, amen.